Welcome back, everybody. I'm pleased to introduce Meg Dvorak, who will moderate today's panel on CF and body image. Ms. Dvorak is a licensed clinical social worker at the Adult CF Center at Stanford, where in addition to working directly with CF patients, she helped develop a CF adult peer mentoring program. Ms. Dvorak serves on CFRI's CF Quality of Life Committee and facilitates CFRI's monthly support groups for adults with CF, as well as two groups for CF caregivers. Meg, we welcome you.
Thank you so much, Jim. And it's so lovely to be here today, albeit virtual. Just wanted to extend a warm welcome to all of you who are joining today, nationally and internationally, for this greatly anticipated panel on body image and CF. And I know we're in the final hours of this conference, and so many of us have Zoom fatigue, or I guess we could call it exhaustion at this point. So I appreciate all of you sticking around for this session. We promise not to disappoint. And I'm so honored to be your moderator for this session today. And before we dive in, I just want to go over a few things first. We only have 45 minutes for this entire session, which can go by in a blink. And I know it's crazy. We could talk about this topic all day long. So it's unlikely we're going to get to any audience questions or participation, but please do put your comments in the chat. I know Siri's going to be monitoring that, and who knows, we may get to some of them. And there also may be an opportunity to have a follow-up webinar on this topic in the future, so stay tuned for that. Additionally, I'm going to be holding a discussion and support group on the topic of body image later this afternoon, 2 p.m. Pacific time, and we'll have 90 minutes to unpack this really compelling topic. So I'm hoping that some of you will join me for that. And next, it gives me great pleasure to introduce our esteemed panel, all of whom are adults with CF. We have Georgia Brown, who's joining us from Cincinnati, Ohio. Georgia has extensive experience exploring body image themes through her work with the Cystic Fibrosis Reproductive and Sexual Health Collaborative. So welcome, Georgia. Next, we have Danielle, or Danny Mandela, joining us right here from CFRI's backyard, Palo Alto, California. Danny is a writer and CFRI social media associate. And I know she's volunteered countless hours for CFRI throughout the years. So welcome, Danny. And our third panelist is Dominic Quagliosi. He's from Los Angeles, but I just heard he's joining us from Massachusetts. So welcome, Dominic. He is a thriving visual artist using his lived experience with CF in some of his artistic mediums. And all of our panelists have longer bios in the program, so I want to encourage you to check those out. So now I'd like to just spend a few moments introducing the topic of body image, which can be defined as having four domains: the way you see yourself, the way you feel about the way you look, your thoughts and beliefs about your body, and then the things that you do in relation to the way that you look. And I like to think about body image as being totally universal, affecting every human being. It is all around us. It is everyone. It's everywhere. Each day, we all look in the mirror and a multitude of thoughts come into our minds. I look old. I look tired. I've put on a lot of weight. I'm super skinny right now. What am I going to do? Does this outfit look good on me? And so on and so on. And body image can become an issue when these perceptions directly translate into health behaviors and mental health states. And then when you pile CF on top of all of that, there's a whole new dimension of complexity and challenges to navigate. And as you can imagine, the human body is such a broad and ever-changing landscape in the CF world, from noticeable things like weight and BMI, supplemental oxygen and body shape, to more subtle things like medical scarring, ports and tubes, having salty skin, and finger clubbing. Learning to love and accept your body when you have CF is far from easy. And nobody can tell you to just get over it or let it go. And I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the ever-present internal conflict of trying to make peace with a body that seems to betray you. Unfortunately, today, our expert panel will be sharing their personal journeys with body image to help us better understand how to overcome some of these challenges. So now, without further ado, I'd like to get started. I have a few questions to guide our conversation today. And the first one is, what have you struggled with most with regards to body image? And that's either past or present. And why don't we start with Danny for that question?
Sure. In the past, when I was younger, I would say maybe before high school or through high school, my biggest concern was what questions will I have to answer? What will people think? Just all the typical teenager stuff that everybody has. But as I've gotten older and currently, my biggest struggle is that it's constantly changing. So I did reach a place where I was able to fully accept my body and the scars and everything it could and couldn't do. But as I get older and have more complications, like right now I'm battling kidney disease, which can change how I look from day to day in different aspects. And so for me, that's a challenge of just not having the time to get used to any one version of my body before it decides to do something else to me.
That is incredible to hear. Your body can change like that day to day, and trying to adjust to those changes sounds like almost an impossible process.
Yeah, it's a bit of it's just adds to the constant reminders that I'm sick and that there are things that are limiting me physically and reminders of things I went through in the past. It's basically daily confrontations of past trauma.
And how about emotionally, just trying to accept all of these things gracefully and live your best life, but also trying to work with your body in a way that feels good?
It's definitely just a one day at a time situation. I have a wide variety of clothes for different body shapes and things that are going on. So that's part of it. If I feel confident in what I'm wearing, that does help me feel better about what's going on, or not feel better, but I guess maybe forget momentarily. If I feel super good in an outfit, I can forget what's underneath it for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. I really appreciate that. Next, let's hear from Dominic on that same question. What have you struggled with most with regards to body image, past or present?
Yeah, for me, I think it, like Danny says, it's kind of an evolution from some sort of superficial things when you're younger. So I'll approach that one first. Like when I was younger, I was always hiding CF because I felt like I was less than, and you know, the physical manifestations of CF, the coughing, trying to hide coughing, trying to hide my clubbing. I got harassed and, you know, made fun of pretty badly, mostly about my height and stature. You know, I'm 5'7", but, you know, growing up, I was always the shortest or second shortest kid in my grade, and very thin all the time, way underweight. So those are kind of noticeable things with CF and the clubbing. Obviously, I had pretty severe clubbing. So those are issues that, you know, when I was a kid, were really important to me. I didn't want to be the smallest kid. I didn't want to be the kid with the weird alien hands. And then, of course, you know, so that was like external things that I was kind of fighting against, the social pressures of looking you know, different in some ways. And then but the internal things that my body was physically doing, like having chronic hemoptysis and chronic lung infections, where I was going into the hospital for 2 weeks at a time and just kind of like disappearing. Like for eight, I think in sixth grade, I was out of school for probably like 7 or 8 weeks out of the whole school year because I kept on having chronic hemoptysis. And when I came back to school, because I was on so much prednisone, I had like this giant moon face. So that was just like another thing to add to the fire of the harassment and stuff. But not that I was always picked on, but it just was something that was that stood out. But to cope with that, I had a really funny sense of humor. I had a very dark sense of humor. And so to kind of ease those burdens, I made people laugh. And I also was artistic, so I could draw a lot of things. So I felt like the humor, comedian aspect, and like the drawing artistic aspect kind of kept some of that at bay, which was nice. But then, like Danny says, as we get older, our priorities change. And now it's kind of realizing like what I'm doing or what my body's doing and trying to cope with the changes. You know, I had a transplant 6 years ago and I battled three different types of rejection over the last 6 years, including chronic rejection. And like she was saying about clothing, I have just recently bought a pair of fat feet shoes, because on some days my feet are so fat, I can't fit them into any of my shoes. Luckily it's summertime, I can wear flip flops, but I had to go out and buy a specific pair of, I just went to Walmart and bought like two sizes too big, extra wide, just for days when my feet are so fat, I can't get them into any other shoes. So it's just kind of like this evolution of trying to deal with all the changes that come along. And, you know, I see it as pretty funny, and that's the only way I can kind of cope with it. It's just like, oh, you can kind of laugh off another thing.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I'm hearing a theme here of wardrobe variety as being a very helpful tool. And Georgia, what have you struggled with regards to body image?
Well, I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum. I've never experienced failure to thrive. I've always been overweight. And unlike a lot of CF patients, I've never had to have the conversation about gaining weight. Having said that, I've never had the conversation, you need to lose weight. I was told early on that the more weight, the better you do. Even when I started developing other issues like sleep apnea and heart problems, it's never been brought up in clinic. In fact, when I see the dietitian, it's very short. So I struggle a lot with body image because I'm overweight. And I told a friend I was doing this talk and she said, you're not that overweight. And I said, you know, I appreciate that because I feel like I'm huge. I don't look in the mirror. Most of my clothes are baggy. I don't like any pictures taken of me below my shoulders. I'm very, very self-conscious whenever I do things. And I basically just try to hide. And it's hard because most of the CF community is underweight. So when I attend a virtual workout class, you know, they're talking about what they're eating and what they're doing. And I'm like, oh, and I burned 278 calories, but I feel bad for saying that because I'm proud of myself, but not everybody is in that same boat. And when I turn on my camera, I make sure that I'm out of the screen so that nobody can see me in my workout clothes, because I'm just that ashamed of how I look.
Would you say that your weight issues are related to the CF or unrelated?
I would say they're related to the CF because I've faced a lot of depression And that has caused me to eat. I once had a doctor say, you can't be sick because you gained weight. Well, when I get sick, I actually gain weight because I'm less active, bored, and depressed. So I eat. So I would say that the CF has contributed just probably in different ways. I did gain weight being on a modulator. And part of the reason I didn't want to take enzymes is because I knew I would gain weight, but it got to the point where I didn't have a choice. So I think all of those things make up CF and make me very conscious about my weight.
Yeah, I think you're so right about like the CF being connected, and it's CF is a whole different world, even from last year and 2 years ago with modulators and the weight gain that we've seen among so many patients, and just what that can do to the psyche when your whole life you're told gain weight, do your enzymes, and you're too skinny, and then suddenly the tables are turned, and then it's like exercise and weight loss, and it can really be a lot of conflicting messages that can lead to distress. And I know I've just heard a lot about weight gain and Trikafta specifically, as well as other modulators. Are you involved with any kind of groups with regards to that? Have you gotten any kind of support for that?
No, I do try to exercise in many CF groups, but I'm usually the only one that's focused on losing weight or preoccupied with it.
I do think as we all get older, though, as you said, Georgia, that's going to become more important, because as young kids are healthier for longer amounts of time, we do need to change the message from the dietitians to a longer view of life, because I do the same thing. I'm a depression eater as well. It's just never hindered me physically because I do have failure to thrive, but that doesn't mean what I'm eating is healthy or right. It means I was born in the 80s and they said eat everything fried and add butter to everything. And that's not great for your heart if you're going to live into your 40s and 50s and 60s.
Absolutely. And I just turned 50. So I also faced menopause. And I never thought I'd make it to menopause, you know. So I think we do need to really look at each person as an individual and try to tailor things more for their personal needs, not like a, you know, standard. I don't think we need to have a standard practice. I think we need to individualize practice.
I couldn't agree with you more, Georgia. With all of the changes on the CF landscape, with the modulators and more people being diagnosed later with CF and just having different comorbidities and different body shapes, we can't have a one size fits all approach anymore of just like what Danny was saying, like gain weight, eat everything you can. Thank you so much for sharing that. Let's move on to our second question. Which is, what has been the most helpful strategy or tool in overcoming some of your body image challenges? And Dominic, can you start us off with this question?
Yeah, sure. I'll say it's a helpful tool, even though it's, I'll describe it this way. So I work out a lot and I try to weightlift and eat, follow macros and just kind of do the semi bodybuilding thing just because that's the only way I can gain and keep muscle. However, it's like a treadmill because I'll get sick even post transplant. In 2019, I had a fundal occlusion because I was aspirating and I needed to, and that was contributing to some of the rejection I was having. So I had a fundal occlusion, which is basically just tightening the valve between the stomach and the esophagus by wrapping the stomach. And just from that one surgery, I lost 25 pounds because I had to go on a liquid diet for 4 weeks after the surgery. And it took me a while to get back to the gym. And so I went from 145 pounds, the heaviest I've ever been in my whole life, feeling amazing, like looking like, I'll look at all my gains, to, you know, back down to 120 pounds, which is around what I was when I got transplanted. So for me, my best tool is working out, because that helps me mentally, emotionally, helps with anxiety that I have about not just my weight and my visual appearance and my health, but just all types of anxieties that come in today's world. But also it's a double-edged sword for me, because it in turn can also lead to some episodes of depression and more anxiety, because I've looked back at the last, say, 6 months to a year of all the effort and hard work I put in, and the results are absolutely gone. You know, I'm in the negative again. So it's this weird, treadmill. There's no other better way for me to put it, but it is my greatest tool. And it gives me something that I can work towards and see actual physical results over time. So I would say working out. But then also, you know, just the social aspect of having a support system, talking to friends and other people in the CF community. I used to work out with a friend of mine who has CF as well, in post-transplant. We're not living near each other currently. That's why we're not working out together. But so finding a friend to work out, especially, he was great because he knew what I was going through and I knew what he was going through, and he had kind of the same slide backs as I did. So we were there to support each other. And so I just kind of take it as like, I know what I'm getting myself into when I start a new journey towards gaining muscle mass and weight, which is very hard post-transplant because you have all the factors of the prednisone and Prograf and all of those medications that fuel on muscle. And it makes it almost impossible to gain muscle mass in large amounts. So that, and you know, my art practice explores all these topics. So that's been, it's both my profession and a coping mechanism for me. So exploring these issues of body image and privacy and things like that, and through art and performance art and getting feedback from audiences and talking to other people and creating a dialogue with people that don't necessarily have any kind of outlet or impetus to talk about these issues. So when I do these performances or make art about these issues and people talk to me about them, it's a really great, it makes me feel like my struggles aren't just my own. So it's like I can be part of this bigger thing that a lot of people are struggling with that don't necessarily have CF even. And it's just something that we're all kind of working towards together. And so those are some of the ways that I cope with it. But, you know, in the end, the CF body kind of does what it wants to do. And in the end, we're kind of just subjected to, you know, we have to learn how to submit when we have to, and try to push forward and do what we can when we can. You know, it's like a give and take for me.
Yeah. And it's almost like allowing two opposing things to be happening at the same time, sort of the wanting to make peace, but like fighting against what your body's doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what I really would stress for anyone with CF, is like, not necessarily the tool really, I guess, to answer your question from the beginning, the tool is really finding my personal peaceful balance between those things. Because some days I just don't have enough to push forward and get to the gym and do the thing. And some days I push as hard as I can and I'm still not getting anywhere. So you have to be able to know the difference and take advantage of those times when you can push forward and when you see gains. And then when you kind of hold back, like people say, there's a lot of positives to resting and taking time for yourself and to just have that negative space, not negative in terms of mental issues, but the negative meaning like the restful times, the not pushing forward, and take advantage of those.
Right. And knowing when that is, just having like the finger on the pulse of your body almost hour to hour, day to day, and just knowing what it needs and what it wants.
Yeah.
Thank you for that beautiful response. All right. And Georgia, let's see, what has been the most helpful strategy or tool in overcoming your body image challenges?
Well, unlike a lot of people, I did really well during COVID. I actually lost weight, and that is because there were a lot of exercise programs available for free online. And, you know, some of us have a lot of expenses, so paying for a gym could be complicated, as well as dealing with germs when you go to a gym. So Taylor, who talked yesterday, had a class that he offered, and I did so many workouts that I won a prize. So that held me accountable. I take some classes with Beam, and we have a camaraderie there. And they've really helped motivate me. I do much better at live classes than doing a recorded class because I put it in my schedule and I know I have to be there. CFRI has been fabulous. They have done yoga classes on Saturdays. And then afterwards, we get a time to talk about issues and really get to know each other. So those things have been probably the most important in my life. And that's really just transpired in the last year. So having these programs that are people who understand, you know, I'm doing this workout with my IV, my PICC line in, so I can only do so much. But they really root for you and say, oh my gosh, you're here. That's great. Do what you can. I find that support over everything has been the best. And I'm just so thankful that these are free and with members of our community.
Yeah, CFRI's programs are absolutely amazing, and they keep adding to those programs every year. I think it's wonderful for individuals with CF to have a really safe space to just join an activity free of cost or low cost, and not have any kind of shame for having an IV in their arm or having to take a break or something like that. There's like universal radical acceptance in these programs. And it was the same kind of theme I heard coming from Dominic about exercise as being really stabilizing and anchoring. And Danny, what has been the most helpful strategy or tool in overcoming your body image challenges?
I have two that have really stood out for me. The first is working out. I agree with that. Where I differ, I think, is that I had my transplant when I was 16 years old. And so they were very much because of the threat of teenage rebellion and going into college and all of that, my recovery was a lot like a boot camp. And so when I was exercising, when I was walking on the floor and doing my laps in those first days and weeks, I was actually told to do it alone because it took away the distraction and the comparison to anything else. And that has really stuck with me. And so I find that I'm more productive in a workout if I do it by myself because I'm not getting sad comparing myself to the people around me. That did change a little bit with CFRI and their programs because it was that community aspect, which is another thing that sort of strengthened numbers, I guess, has helped me. I keep thinking back to the first time that I wore a two-piece bathing suit. I was, I think maybe early 20s, and I was living in Los Angeles, and I had two friends who didn't have CF, but they were also chronically ill, and they also had a lot of scars and visible things. One of them had a like the gastric pouch. And so we went to the beach one day and they were already pretty fully confident in their bodies and everything that came with it. And so I just said, I'm going to try it today. I'm going to wear my two piece. I'm going to go to the beach with them. There was three of us. So even if we got stares, it was like, we dare you to ask all three of us what's going on right now. So that day changed a lot for me. I brought that confidence with me, even when they weren't with me, to accepting my body, and almost that same attitude of daring people to ask me if I'm at the public pool or something in my two piece and they see my second belly button from my feeding tube scar, I don't care. So if I walk around with that confidence, I found I was getting fewer questions. So it was kind of a win-win situation, but I wouldn't have had that unless I had that community first and had those two people with me to get to that place.
It's almost like you could try on the behavior, or just like experiencing that with your wing people next to you. And even if you're faking it, you don't feel it at the time. Like, you could just be like, hey, check me out.
Exactly. Yeah. Confidence takes energy, and energy is one thing that we're all low on with CF. And so I didn't want to spend it when it could have been used elsewhere, but to take off some of that work by having people with me, it kind of snowballed in a positive way.
Yeah. Okay. I just got a reminder that we have about 15 minutes left. So we have another question I want to introduce to the panel. We're going to start with Georgia for this one. What message would you give to others with CF or their loved ones to help them accept and love their bodies?
Well, at the end of the day, I have to remind myself that I'm still alive. And that wasn't something I was told when I was born. And I think we just need to be grateful that we have the health that we do and that we get to do the things that we enjoy. So that's really what I try to tell myself. Doesn't always work. But I think, you know, learning to love yourself is definitely a journey filled with some trials and tribulations. But at the end of the day, just count your blessings.
Sorry, I was on mute. Thank you so much. That was a really strong message. Appreciate that so much. Let's go to Danny next for that one. What message would you give to others with CF or their loved ones to help them accept and love their bodies?
I think for others with CF, I don't really have any advice. I think we've all lived in it and have developed our own kind of things that help us. My message would be more for loved ones, and this is just from my own personal experience. I would suggest, I think we're all past the point where we need to make comments on each other's bodies, just in general as a society. I live in my body, so I'm going to notice things before you do. I'm very much aware of them before they're called out to me. So I just don't feel that there's a need for it to be pointed out. It just, all it can do is bring up those traumas and those things that we're trying to struggle through every day. So yeah, just encourage and support people based on them and their personality and what they're going through. The body should not enter into the conversation.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I know society has such a long road ahead in getting to that place. But I have noticed sort of glimmers of change, of just more body positive models and plus size mannequins and whole sections in retail stores now that used to cater to just the pretty skinny clientele. And even stores like Sephora with their messaging with diversity and different skin colors and different body types for their products. So there's a little traction there, and it's really encouraging. It's really promising. Yeah. And Dominic, Anything you'd tell to others with CF or their loved ones?
Yeah, I'm going to go in a little different direction. I really love both of Georgia and Danny's answers, and I second what they mentioned as good, good advice, good feedback. I'm going to mention something that's pretty specific to me, but somebody might take something from it. So for me, I was in the hospital a lot as a kid, and also, you know, through high school, not so much in college. I was pretty healthy in college, but then in my late 20s, again, back in and out of hospitals all the time. And with that is, you know, all these medicalized gazes and touches and, you know, the body, you know, feeling like the body, my body or a body is constantly being examined in the hospital and things like that. So for me, I wanted to kind of investigate that, and I wanted to change that approach to how other people viewed my body and how my body was interfacing with those type of people, like the medical professionals. So what I did was I started to seek out different types of touch. So I did acupuncture, I did chiropractor, I did a lot of massage therapy. And so what I wanted to do was trying to replace that like medicalized touch that I think kind of put barriers around my body and like how I interacted with loved ones and whoever, because I always felt like I was just always being looked at, like Danny said, like everyone would always mention my body, like, oh, you look healthy, like, oh, have you gained weight, like, you look stronger today, like all these bullshit things, like yeah, I know, I see that myself. So I kind of took ownership of the type of touch that I was allowing to be had on my body, and I got really into massage therapy, and so now I get a massage once a month when I can afford to. And and for loved ones, I would say that are, or not just loved ones, but caretakers in general, try to find the type of touch that can work for you, the person you're caretaking for, and in loving relationships, the type of touch that your partner and you want to have. Because I know physical touch isn't for everyone, but there are also ways to touch people through word and language and music and whatever, visually. That was me. I was just wanted to investigate the different types of touches, and I found that massage therapy and that was good for me. And then my wife and I kind of, you know, found a way to massage each other, not to get crazy, but you know what I mean, like, so you just kind of work through that. And I think and now when I go into a doctor's appointment, I feel more confident. I don't feel like I'm kind of like shying back into the little boy who kind of first experienced all these medicalized gazes and touches. I kind of walk in there more like, okay, I'm going to take ownership of this appointment. And so anyway, that's what I would say.
Thank you, Dominic. Well, that's all the questions that I have, and we still have a little bit of time left. And there's a couple of questions in the chat. One of which, let's see here. How did you do transitioning into public school, having CF and being around kids that are healthy? And what did you tell your classmates, if anything? So I can just...
I had a unique perspective. I had to stop at get my enzymes at the nurse every day, and people made fun of me. And so they said, well, what does this CF thing mean? And this was elementary school. And I said, if you think of all the ways you can die, I have one more than you. And I just, put it in that perspective. And it was hard. it, you know, with the barrel chest and the things, you know, I didn't have the body that men wanted. And so it can be hard and kids can be cruel.
Absolutely. I think that's what Danny was talking about as well, about like the traumas of growing up with a CF body.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, I hid CF as long as I could, to the point where I made it through high school with only like very few people knowing, like a few close friends knowing actually that I had CF. Like, people obviously could tell I was sick it's for something, but for the most part, I kept the secret. And looking back, I wish I hadn't. I wish I was more like, living with it, known, because in college I started telling more people and it became less of a deal. Like, to the point where once I told my three roommates in college, and then like I had a group of friends, nobody cared. And it was just like, they were there to support me and whatever I needed. And that support I probably could have used in high school that I never got because I didn't tell anybody except for a couple of close friends.
Yeah, my experience was similar. I didn't, I got all the way through high school with maybe two or three friends actually knowing, and they only got very vague. I have this thing, but it's no big deal. And we didn't really talk about it. But I didn't have, like I said before, confidence takes energy. And I was at my sickest all the way up until I was 16. So on top of all the emotional stuff that comes with it, I just physically could not handle explaining anything to anybody. So that did change for me as I got older, because I had my transplant. And then so going into college and everything, I had a little bit more energy to be more open about it.
I think that our relationship with ourselves and our own bodies is perhaps the most complex one of all, and just the constantly changing landscape of our minds and our physical bodies is just always throwing us new challenges almost daily. There was a question in the chat, and it was more directed to me, but as a professional, but about like, how do I, what was it exactly? What are some practices that I would recommend to become more in touch with your emotions regarding your body? And the one thing I could say, aside from exercise, which was just seemed to be universally coming up on this panel, is a mindfulness or meditation practice. And this can take a different types of forms, but there's all kinds of mind body techniques that can help nurture the relationship between the mind and the physical body. And I just actually listened to a meditation last week on the Calm app. I don't know if any of you have Calm. I absolutely love it. I also have Headspace. But there's a new narrator that comes up every day on the Calm app. And he's a gentleman that's heavier set. And he talked about just being with your natural body. And by natural body, he means like your body as it is right now, today, this very moment, and just wholeheartedly, radically accepting that body. And then just sort of sitting with those emotions and breathing with that. It's just a 10-minute guided meditation, but he has a whole series about natural mind, natural body, natural breath. And then there's a whole host of other types of meditations that would help nurture that connection. So that's how I'd answer that question.
I know we only have a few seconds left, but I definitely second Dominic's mention of massage too. For me, I was doing the same when I could afford it, going about once a month, and physically for the touch, it was great, but it also, I I ended up with a great massage therapist that did some energy work as well. And so she was massaging with the intent to release certain emotions. And I can't explain why, but there were sessions where I went in feeling great and I was having a great day, and I came out crying because she had just like released something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that, I found that very helpful.
Well, that we're at time right now. And of course, as I said in my introduction, we could talk about this all day. So I just want to thank everybody and thank especially the panelists for sharing so much from your heart about your journey.